Hey, my friend,
What's
how are
up?
you?
Good, man. How are you? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you good, man. How about me?
I can hear you fine.
Perfect.
I like the mustache.
Oh, dude, it's all gonna keep on going.
You went from the beard to the mustache.
Yeah. I figured I would just commit to this, and so it's been a little bit of a process. We'll see where it goes.
It's nice. How what's the end picture? To just grow it as big as you can grow it.
Yeah, we'll just see how it
Yeah.
goes. The mid part's gonna grow out, so maybe it's all gonna be more like Yosemite Sam, like I guess you could say.
Dude, that's awesome. It looks good. All
Oh
right. Well, yeah, this is gonna be a not too long of a meeting. We're gonna talk until you have to go. It's not a big deal.
yeah.
But now it's good to get in touch with you. I haven't talked to you in a while. So just to let the listeners kind of find out a little bit about you. I'll tell you guys a little bit about my experience with Kyle. Kyle is a friend of mine. We both have a couple of things in common, or a lot of things in common, but we met through StarMark. We both went to StarMark Academy for dog trainers at different times. And then at some point, we both became instructors. So we taught for a few years as co-instructors. And it was just great getting to know him, great watching him grow as a trainer. It was very, very rewarding to watch Kyle grow as a trainer. He went from, a person with
True.
some experience. He already had experience. He knew what he was doing, but getting to see him put the pieces together and learning and applying that to his dogs was very rewarding. And just very interesting to see the growth that Kyle went through. So Kyle, tell us a little bit about, tell the audience a little bit about, your journey, yourself, and kind of where you're at right now.
I've been doing dogs for like 14 years now. Started out handling narcotics dogs for, the guy that went to high schools and did vehicles, lockers, backpacks, all that kind of stuff, and did that for a while. Got out of it because the pay wasn't that great. And then I've done everything dogs under the sun. I did a job where I picked up poop for a living, made pretty good money, making good money doing dirty jobs. And then I was like, you know what? I want to learn a little bit more about dogs, and so I found StarMark, and then was very, very inspired by the people around because they knew a lot. Very good people. You were going through your shadowing process. And it's been just fun watching our relationship develop. And so, yeah, after teaching together and, your perspective, you already had a lot of knowledge under your belt. So I'm sort of seeing things that you already knew, working with people, working with a client, working with the public, and how perspective changed. Because you're right, I've changed and grown from someone that just was, I think I'm right, to there's a bigger picture. Kind of a
Everybody goes through that
situation.
too.
And so yeah, it's very humbling. And it's been a great time knowing you and just reflecting on things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I consider you a good friend. I know we don't talk every week, but when we do talk, when we do
Nah, we don't
connect,
need to.
we know, we know we care about each other, so
Oh
it's
man, I
good.
just
It's
miss
a
your
good
goofiness, man.
relationship. We have a good relationship. We have a good friendship. So no, dude, I appreciate you. You're pretty awesome. You mean you spent I think you spent the Thanksgiving at my house, right? And then
Yeah, dude.
I spent like a day at your house.
Yeah,
So
I
we
get
hung
it.
out for
It's good,
sure.
dude.
So right now you're training dogs for yourself. What's going on right now?
So honestly, my big focus is sort of more like pet sitting, honestly.
Okay.
More boarding. It's just the sort of the cycle that I go through. It's holiday season stuff, and so I spend honestly more time just watching dogs and keeping up the expectation of how to walk on a leash, how not to react, the maintenance, I guess you could say. And honestly, a big portion of it's socialization. They're just they're in a home that they know the routine, they get along with everyone. and it's a sort of a it's a good environment for new dogs to come into. So
I
that's a big
remember
portion of it.
When we taught at Starmark, I know socialization was one of your strengths. I remember
yeah,
that. That was definitely one of your strengths, you know. And I do remember when the students had to do socialization, when we got to that portion, I mean, there was nobody I trusted more with that than you. You know, like, you know, my style is more like, you know, don't even think about anything inappropriate. I'm going to address it right away. Your style is more like, you know, let them think about it.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Let them think about it a little bit, not too much.
Yeah.
But let them think about it a little bit, and then we'll address it. So it's interesting to see, you know.
That's so true, dude. It's so true. It's like, let's push a little bit more.
Yeah, just think about it a little bit. I remember, but you were always, you know, spot on. You're always on point. You know, you were always, you know, like you would let them think about it a little bit more than I was comfortable. But like right there, you were able to go, okay, no more than that. And it always worked out. We always had a good, you know, everybody had a good experience. The introductions went really well.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of dog training, as you know, and just watching not only us, but also the other, you know, the other trainers and the other students, you'll notice, and you agree with this, I'm sure, is that even though everybody is, you know, at a certain level, everybody puts their own touch into it. You know, you put your own personality into your training.
100%. Yeah. It's what makes us all sort of a unique in our own, and what makes us successful or not successful, honestly. It's that little extra little touch that you add to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, and like we talked about earlier, you evolve, you know, so you carry your personality with it as you grow. But even though your personality kind of stays the same, you evolve, you know, you go from, oh, you know, 3 years later, you go, you know, 3 years ago, I could have been doing things different. And you're doing them different now in a better way. but you carry that personality with you.
Yeah, it's you're right. It's sort of like just the phrase where you have to have soft hands sometimes. Like, you know, it's a difficult task, but you got to have soft hands, because the finesse is what makes all the difference.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And all the experience and time and practice makes that happen. That's like trying to teach a person or a client, an individual, going, hey, you know what? Let's hold a leash for the first time. And they have no idea what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But just like anything, practice makes perfect.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
it's good to have the reflection on things, and you can see where you were and where you're at now. And you're right, it's a lot of evolving.
Yeah, I mean, always, you know, you always evolve. And I know one of the other strengths you had was also tricks. You were really, you got really big into tricks, and you really focused on it, and you got really good at it.
It's a fun thing. I like doing it. I've done some shenanigans recently with my guy Wazoo, showing off. I can do what he can do, kind of videos.
Yeah, I saw that video of him twerking.
Oh man, he's so funny. Yeah, honestly, that's his least favorite trick. He grunts and he gets his. Oh man, he's so funny. He's so much attitude with that trick, but. But yeah, he's a good one. He's pretty dedicated to the things that he knows, and he's always willing to show off when he has to.
That's good. Yeah, he's a nice dog. Yeah. I remember him when he was young.
Yeah, he's turned out to be a pretty good little nugget. I use him as an example for children. Never a question. I'm talking about like toddlers, kids that have never met a dog, or adults that are just afraid of dogs in general. Like,
solid.
He's
a solid dog.
Yeah, that's like my goal for him. Yeah, the example. So he gets along with everyone, and you know, honestly, since my past, the other dog passed, Blitz, he's had to sort of take on some roles of how to be the one in charge, because that was his job. Used to be, he used to correct puppies, he used to do that kind of role, and now Wazoo's had to take that over, and he's really grown as an individual as well, because he's almost seven now. He'll be seven in December.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
but seven is so young, dude. I used to think seven was old. But now I'm like,
no,
that's
he's still got
so
a lot
young.
Left in him.
That's so young, especially for a working dog, you know, which Wazoo is as a working dog.
Yeah,
But
and I don't want to work him too hard, and he definitely has got a lot of energy left in him. But yeah, he enjoys the tug every day. We pretty much play tug.
That's good, man. Yeah, these guys got to move. They have to move. They have to do something. So, you know, in your journey from, you know, being a handler, being a student, being an instructor, training for yourself, what are some of the most memorable instances? Maybe not dogs, maybe not clients, but maybe what are some of your most memorable situations that taught you something about either the industry or about dogs?
So I would say one of my most memorable experiences when I had to go certify for my narcotics dog, and I'm sitting in a warehouse in the middle of Texas, little warehouse, and it's this old canine cop, and you're doing your first run. You're trying to pattern a little bit. You're trying to learn to trust your dog and not micromanage everything, which is my big tendency when I first started, because I was like, just reading body language was a task and a skill in its own. And so, you know, after passing, it taught me, I went through two black labs. My first lab was too slow. My second lab was faster, and that was better for me because she knew what to do. So from that perspective, I would say that's one of the most memorable experiences, with just learning the dog's perspective, where their mind is at, because I mean, that's half the battle. But too smart for their own good.
That is, dude. That is. And some breeds too are smarter than others, and some personalities too, you know, some temperaments are smarter than others.
Their perception's insane.
Yeah. One thing that I've noticed, and you know, we joke about it all the time at club, you know, the German Shepherds versus the Malinois, and you always notice the German Shepherds are too smart for their own good. And you would imagine that's not a bad thing, but it is, because they try to overanalyze. They try to think ahead, and they go, okay, well, I know where you're teaching me, so why don't I just do this?
Yeah.
And you know, the hounds have to go, because you can't do that. You have to do this, this, and this first.
They go straight to the end.
The German Shepherds are very aware, you know, like, for instance, when you're trying to teach them complex things, they go, oh, okay, I think I know what you want me to do. So they'll anticipate. And they'll
so
go,
let me
this
do
is
it for you.
Yes, they want to do it for you, right? Which you can't do that when you're competing. But the Malinois are more, they're not, you know, they're generally not overthinkers. They're more impulsive. Which is why, you know, they're like, I'm not going to overthink. I'm just going to do it. Right. And you're like, okay, do that. And then you go, okay, no, don't do that. Okay, now do that. Okay, now don't do that. And all they have to do is they just have to listen. But the German Shepherds, the overthinkers, they're like, you want me to do that? Why? Oh, okay. I know what you want me to do.
Yeah, Wazoo's more of a mouth for sure.
And I kind of like that, you know. I kind of like the impulsive, you know.
You know what? I always remember back when, this is another important little history, where I remember Jack sitting on a place bed, just full stand on the corner, and you were like, I never wanted to just, you know, like, I always want intensity. He could stand there all day long as he knows his boundary.
Yeah.
And it, yeah. And I remember him just sitting there on his two front feet on that little corner.
Yeah.
And he would just sit there he was really good at place.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like, you're like, I don't care. As long as he's got the spirit behind him, like
Yeah.
intensity was always something that we were looking for. You can turn it on and then you can turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely, dude. It's it's very interesting, to go through your phases and grow as a trainer, and you get to see the dogs. You get to also learn people. So what have been some of your experiences with that? So we talked a little bit about dogs. What about the people aspect?
Honestly, the thing I honestly specialize, everyone's usually doing what majority of people do, right? They're doing reinforcement, they got a feeding schedule, and I feel like where a lot of people get confused, honestly, is just pressure. They get stuck with pressure. Everyone's just doing what everyone else is doing, and sometimes that's not the right thing for that dog, right? So that's a big aspect of it, is just teach people to be honestly more consistent. Dogs are easy. Dogs are easy. People are hard.
Always, always, yeah. People are always hard, people always, and again, you go back to personalities, just like we evaluate and assess the personality of the dog so that we could customize the training to them. We always have to deal with people. And you remember as an instructor, when we had students, we would have 30 some students per class, and we would have some students that were so soft that, would cry, right? If they misinterpreted like if you gave some sort of feedback and they would misinterpret it for harsh criticism. And then you had your students that were really tough, and and they had no problem with feedback because they were okay with that. And it's
Yeah,
so
it was just their
fascinating.
personality. Yeah, I get
Yeah,
you.
personality is such a big thing with dogs and people. You have to like, and one thing that I've learned about, people and dogs, especially with dogs, it really solidified this bit of knowledge when I figured this out with dogs, is, you've heard of this, right? You've heard of train the dog in front of you, right? You've heard of that, right? Customize and adjust your training style to each dog. Well, I personally think that to a degree that's true, but I still want to take him through the same template. Like if I
Yeah, I
have a
see what you're
system that
saying.
works, yeah, exactly. If I have a system that works, I'm not going to change my system. I'm going to customize, the paces that I take that dog through to get him to the same system. Because if I have a good system, the ABCs don't change for anybody. Right, the ABCs are the ABCs. So we're gonna take you through those paces in a way that works with your personality. But at the end of the day, we have to get you through the ABCs. And I've learned that with people is the same way. And reflecting back on our years at StarMark as instructors, we had a system. We had a system. That's what we had. We had a training system. This is what you learn the first 4 weeks. This is what you learn, from week 5 through week 8. This is what you learn from week, 9 through week 12. That was a system. So we didn't change that. But
Well,
we had
it was
to,
consistent.
it was consistent. It was a good system. So we don't go, you're going to learn something else and you're going to learn something else. You're all going to learn the same thing. But how we walk you through those paces, that will require some customization.
Well, yeah, and it's true because it's like, every student had a different learning curve, and you had a difference of students that put in the work. You had the students that were willing to ask for extra help. And that's all it really took is for them to go, hey, you know what? I need a little bit more. But each person got what they needed to get through the material and be successful. But we all had to learn at some point. It's a lot of extra work. It just comes
Yeah.
with the territory of dogs.
You have to
It's
do
just
the reps.
the reality.
You have to do the reps, you know?
Yeah. And like you said, it's about learning what who that individual is. Dogs aren't kids, but man, they totally learn the same. Repetition, frequency, who's that individual, what are their strengths, what are their pros, what are their cons. You start to, you know, you analyze what this dog is, and you can, it's how we used to evaluate dogs. Had to go, hey, you know what? This is the dog that we can go with this person because it's going to give them, it's going to challenge them, but it's going to make them better.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Kind of the situation.
Yeah. So, you know, working, you know, for yourself, what is the bulk of your clientele? Are they, you know, mostly soft pet owners? What do you, yeah? Because you're in Dallas.
I would say
you're in Dallas, right?
Yeah, I'm up in the Dallas area. The majority of my business, honestly, is just soft dogs. I don't really do any like hard dog work. I sometimes work with behavior cases, you know, dogs that are fearful and such. Sometimes they know they want to bite. Not too many of those. A lot of it's just word of mouth shenanigans. And, you know, that's pretty much my majority of my advertising. And I appreciate my clients a lot because you know, that's where it all sort of comes from. So it's a lot of soft dogs and, you know, puppies, a lot of puppies in a growing stage. And, realistically, it's people just learning how to walk their dog. You know, I try to teach a wheelhouse that your dog needs to know their name. Some form of a sit or a down and have a follow and a lead. Like that's all you really need to be somewhat successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a lot of times people just give too much freedom.
Yeah.
That's the real common thing I see between all my clients is that either know or they don't. Either the husband knows and the wife won't listen or vice versa. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm also a therapist by trade.
No, I hear you, man. And it's funny because see, you're in a city, and one thing I've noticed is, or you're close to a city at least, but one thing I've noticed is you know, city pet owners are different. You know, I'm in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
So I do have some clients from the country, but a lot of my clients come from the city. And
gotcha.
You can tell the difference. You can tell the way in which they, you know, raise their dogs, right?
Yep.
The way they feel about their dogs is very, very similar to the way you're saying, basically. And, you know, whereas, you know, country people that are, you know, kind of out away from the city, they have sort of a different mindset of
dogs are
well,
dogs.
It's a dog. We got to do what we got to do. Whereas we're city people, it's more like, you know, it's not just our dog, it's our family. And that's where they run into the issues.
They're a family member.
You see.
You're exactly right. Yeah, they're family members. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure, man. It's, it's fascinating. You know, talking about dogs, it's just dogs and people. It's very interesting.
Yeah. A lot of times you get to see, I've got amazing clients. I got some people I'm like, it's sort of like a student that just wants to do the work. They know what they get it. They understand it. They put in the time and like things click and you go, okay, these are the individuals that see the difference in their dogs very quickly. And then you have other people that, you know, everything, it just takes time. We all understand that there's not going to be an immediate change with things. It's consistency is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Your timing can be poor. You know, maybe the reward's not as good as it could be. But as long as you try to do it the same way every time, you will see results. You just got
to back to
stay
consistency.
The course. You just got to go back to stay the course. So,
yeah.
I give my clients a lot of time with progress and, a lot of them really see the results. They just have to, you know, sort of reflect a little bit. And some clients need more tough love than others, honestly. They're like, be more firm. They're like, tell me what I need to do so I could be successful. And then you have everyone else where they're just like an elderly couple and they need their dog not to pull them to the ground. Right. Little things like that. Or, you know, someone that is elderly and they got a dog for the first time in their whole life. Raising a puppy. Those all sorts of shenanigans can happen. And it's like you have to help them through their life course. And it's great to build these relationships with individuals. That's probably been the most rewarding situation for working for myself, is just the people that I know now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
Yeah. For sure.
it's the most important thing so far. And
Yeah.
It's nice to have people that I know, people that trust me, and dogs that are familiar and can help other dogs grow. And that's sort of where I'm at right now. So yeah, it's a nice little group of dogs, and Wazoo's sleeping on his bed right now. And you know, you deal with a lot of different perspectives, a lot of anxious dogs. Not some, like I said, like real aggressive dogs, but just
Yeah.
more so like fear dogs.
Yeah.
That's the majority of dogs, just is fear based. And
Yeah,
so,
no,
yeah,
I
it's
agree.
nice when you can break down mental barriers and you can build trust and you can see dogs grow. And yeah, it's just my day to day. What have they be doing to the end of the year?
And what are you thinking? I know you've done a lot of things. Another thing that we haven't really talked about is your personal growth too. You know, you since the last time I saw you, you've changed a lot physically. You've gotten in shape. You know, you become more active. It's like you went through this growth process where, you know, you didn't just evolve as a dog trainer, but it's clear that you've evolved as a person as well. Where I see you doing other things, you know, I see you getting into things like skydiving, you know, you're running, which I know that's something you were starting to get into when I saw you, you know, when we were working together. But what are other things besides dogs that interest you, that fascinate you, or that call to you?
Honestly, it's like my big thing is like I love photography. That's my sort of my little side hobby that I have is dog photography, and that's what I specialize in when I take pictures for clients and things of that nature. So that's been fun learning how to do, you know, Photoshop and all of that. Is just a little side thing that's been fun, and I've been doing that for a couple of years. Other than doing dog shenanigans, I don't really play video games too much anymore. But you know, just honestly, just trying. I keep trying to learn, I guess you could say, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm not trying to really focus on anything too much.
Just
but
keeping your mind fresh.
yeah, you just never know. There's trying to see where we're at in the big world, kind of a
Yeah.
situation.
Yeah.
So yeah, stay busy enough. Well, I guess you could say we all know there's a lot of cleaning that comes with dogs. You always gotta deal with hair and do the maintenance and do the routine. And so yeah.
For sure, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I got a little setup going on, and it's going to be a little bit of a busy Thanksgiving, but it'll be all right. It just comes with
Busy
the
is good, man.
territory. It's true. You can't complain.
Busy is better than not having anything to do and then not knowing how you're going to pay your bills next month.
It's super, it gives you perspective.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
a, it's a, and that's only comes with experience, where you go, you know where, I know where I've been, I know where I'm at now. Stay the course.
And I'm serious. And you, I'm sure you know this, but going from or being in a situation where you're like, crap, I don't have any clients. You know, I don't have any clients.
Yeah.
And wishing you had clients to, wow, I got a lot of clients. You definitely take the, wow, I got a lot of clients over, crap, I don't have any clients. So if you experience both, you definitely know busy, you know, it might be unpleasant, it might be tight, it might be very, very hectic, but I'll take busy
Yeah, you're
any
yeah,
day.
I'll take busy. And you know, it's interesting, you know, my whole business has basically just been Wazoo doing stuff. Wazoo and splits doing stuff.
Yeah.
That was my whole resume, pretty much. I'm like,
Yeah.
that's my dog. I'm like, I taught that dog.
You go out, you do your, you do your little tricks, your little demos out there, and when
Yeah.
you're in a city, that attracts a lot of eyes.
Yeah, I've gotten to a point now, dude, where I've, like you said, like you get to a point where you have too many people and you have to say no. And you feel bad. I feel bad when I have to say no. I'm like, I want to help everybody. And I used to be all over the place, everywhere.
Yeah.
Had to reel things in a little bit. So yeah, you're exactly right. It's good to be busy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and it's good to say no too. You can't make yourself too
Saying
busy
no
to
is
the
hard.
point where.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna interrupt you, but it's like, okay,
No,
it's
go
like me
ahead.
telling a client, I'm like, it's fine to tell a person no, don't pet your dog.
Yes.
Okay, right. It's not the time or the place. But then flip that around where I'm like, that's hard for me to say no. Even though I know it's sometimes the right thing to say. My whole point is like, no is okay. Just like you said, no is okay. We just have to become competent with saying no.
Yes.
Because then
And
otherwise you overwork yourself.
I think a lot of it too is from the way we're raised, you know. You're raised to be
I can do
polite.
that.
You're
I can do
raised
that.
to, yeah, you're raised to one, be polite, and two, like you said, you're raised to, no, you can do that. You can definitely do that. But we're raised to believe that no is a bad word. No, you don't say no. And we just are in, and then we go into adulthood thinking you can't say no without realizing that saying no in many instances does give you freedom.
Yeah.
No means that means you can say no to people, just like you said. If I have a client or you're a person, then you got your dog and it's not the type of dog that should be handled by everybody and somebody wants to pet your dog.
Oh, man.
Saying no is good because it could save that dog a bad experience. If you're a professional and you got a shitty client and they want to run your schedule for you, they want to, impose
Yeah.
their idea on you, then saying no gives you freedom. It allows you to say, no, we're not doing it that way. We're doing it this way.
It's okay to pick your clients. We've
Yes.
all been in the scenario where you've done everything under the sun, but then as you progress, you start to see, okay, this is what's better for me. This is my type of individual. And you know, everyone's got different energy, man. Energy is part of everything,
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
right? And so, it's fine to, narrow your scope. We've all been there where you have a really wide scope. Anything's fine. But then you start to find your specialties. You start to figure out what works for you, narrow down the pie a little bit. So, yeah, it just comes with the territory. You figure out what West likes for you and, it's,
Yeah.
just comes with it. So I like where I'm at right now, and I honestly, like I said, my clients are my favorite thing.
That's good.
So.
All right, so to kind of close the interview, what advice would you give people that are wanting to get into dog training?
Be ready for a 24/7 job if this is what you're really wanting to do. It's like sometimes, and unless you've got the space and the separation, you're with dogs all the time.
Yes. Yeah, you're so
Yeah.
right about that. You're
It's like
so
a
right.
never-ending process. And so it
Even
can
if you
wear on
work
you.
for somebody, even if you work for somebody, like, if you only do like Monday to
It's a lot
Friday,
of responsibility.
it is. And also, but on the even on the weekends, you're learning. You're working with your dogs. At least I know you and I are this way, and a lot of people are too. Even when you're not working, you're working because you're training your dogs, you're learning.
There's always
You're
something going on.
reading, you're watching videos, you're doing everything you can to advance yourself. So I totally agree with you. And that's one thing that I've always been aware of. And one thing that we've always told people, you're not just when we're at Starmark, we would say, you're not just coming here to play with dogs. You're going to be cleaning
No.
kennels. You're gonna
Oh,
be
it's gonna
picking
be
up dog shit.
cold.
You're gonna be training dogs nonstop, even on the weekends. You're gonna come for supervised study. You're gonna train, and people a lot of
Yeah,
times
that's a
are
big
not
test of
aware of that.
character. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. If you're not
And
into it,
that's
you're
just the
not.
beginning. That's just the beginning.
Yes. Yeah. I totally. I mean, I resonate with that pretty well, and I agree with you. That is the one thing that I think a lot of people that are getting into dog training need to be aware of is that
Yeah, there's a dirty
you're
job
not just
behind it,
doing the
man.
fan. Yeah, you're not just doing the fancy tricks. You're not just doing the, you know, the training the puppies. You're learning, you're working, you're cleaning kennels, you're working your own dogs, especially if you're on a business, that's a lot of
Oh,
responsibility too.
man, you're trying to save money, so you're not going to the vet and spending an arm and a leg. You're learning all the symptoms. You're trying to figure out, do I need to groom this dog? What's the appropriate thing? Like, schedule feeding routines. All of it comes with the territory. Like you said, everything we've said is about learning who that dog is. And, some people have to write it down and they have the routine. And then everyone else is just built differently where they go, okay, this is this dog, this is this, this is this. So, some people have it, some people don't. And,
Dude, it's funny you should say that. So my wife and I were talking, Liz and I were talking about this yesterday. The same thing you just said, we talked about yesterday. And that is just like you said, some people have it. And here's, just to kind of add to that. And you know this too, because you work with a lot of dog trainers. And one thing I've noticed is you could have a person be in the industry for 10, 20 years, and they're good at the mechanics. They can train a dog to do everything. But you always know they don't quite have the touch. They are good at knowing the
Okay,
mechanics and
I see
teaching
what you're
it, but
saying.
they don't quite have the touch. And then you see people that have never done it, or maybe have only been doing it for a month or two. And even if they're, even if their timing is not there, even if they're not experienced or knowledgeable, you see that they have something about them that
Yeah.
makes you go, this is going to be a good trainer.
Yeah, they're able. It's like that foresight. Having foresight and being able to, like I tell my clients, you got to be a couple steps ahead of the dog. You have to understand that if I do this, this is going to happen. This is going to result in this. It's going to be a good way or a bad way. Like, you have to break down the sequence. And you're right. Some people have, they have better muscle memory. They have better body movements. They can multitask.
Something about him, and I had,
All of the above.
I know, Tom Rose calls it the touch. So in his book, Training with the Touch, Tom Rose, I think, makes a couple of mentions on this in his book that basically says some people have the touch. Barbalone calls it the golden fingers. Like some people just have the golden fingers. And you can see it. If you assess people, you can always, and that doesn't mean that, that only certain people should be dog trainers or animal trainers. Everybody
No,
can. I
no.
mean, we've seen people that, and I know people currently that mechanically they know how to bring a dog to the paces. They know how to bring a dog to the ABCs. But you see, there are some things that they never fully grasped. That
Okay,
there's
yeah.
something about them. And then you see people that have only done it, and you saw it a lot at Starmark, have only done it for like a month or two, brand new. And you see something about them that makes you go, this person has it.
Yeah.
This person definitely has it.
Yeah, you definitely there was always like those potential students where you go, okay, they're making good progress. We saw a lot of those students, like, we were doing sit detection. Like, that's where people really shined. Where they could tell the difference and you could tell the difference in the performance of their dogs. And so, there was always a scenario, right? You have rescue dogs and there's always those. personalities you have to deal with, but you could really tell the difference. And that's where I'm sort of thinking about right now, where that really was a reflection of the student and the dog. Sit to text was always super fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was always fun watching those dogs drink it, and the students.
Yeah.
Students were, you know, as long as they could keep their hand from moving that ball, they were good.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Thanks a lot for your time. I really appreciate it. It was great catching up with you.
Yeah, man.
You know, we definitely have to catch up periodically just to see where, you know, where we are. And thanks a lot. This is a great interview. I think the people that are going to be listening to this are going to get a lot of good information, a great perspective from a great trainer like you. So how can people find you if somebody wanted to, you know, maybe somebody happens to be in your area and they wanted to get in touch with you?
Yeah. So I've got a website. It's www.khdogs.com.
Okay.
My Instagram is k.hdogs. And yeah, you can find me just doing dog photography, hanging out with my dogs, you know, just sharing the day-to-day routine, I guess you could say.
Staying awesome, busy. Man. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. And we'll
Good
chat
to see
later.
You, Will.
Take care,
my
man.
Friend. You have a great
Bye.
Evening.
You too. Bye.